back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I am positively getting through the back ailment, and I'm hoping to get to Nick's Grandstand Grill on Friday. Needles in the back and MRIs. I have felt like I've been poked and prodded all week. Bill Cole is here. You know, I'm not doing a lot of radio, Bill, this week. I'm running some, not necessarily best of, but some crab cake tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. When I can stand for a moment before I take on Needles, I wanted to have my pal Bill Cole on. Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, they take care of solar and all that good stuff. How are you, man? You've been off the grid a couple of weeks. Last I checked with you, you were like DVRing Ravens games and stuff. I mean,
yeah,
Cole Roofing's difficult to run these days, huh?
And, I kind of knew that the Ravens were just going to destroy the Chargers, so there was no point in even watching that because that was so obvious that that was going to happen. Right, like, well, I didn't see that coming.
This is sports, though, right? This is kind of why you watch. It's kind of like why you go to the racetrack, right? It's why you play the lottery. You know,
sure.
Anything could happen, right? And in the case of the Ravens, for them to be 5-1, with all these injuries. We talked about leadership a little bit last week, I think, with John Gruden and Urban Meyer and where it's at. If I took 16 of your roofers away from you and said put them all on the DL, they all have back ailments like me. Injured on the job, injured off the job, old football injury. I don't know what my injuries are, but if you take people away, I mean, I know when anytime you lose one person, that's really an incredible organization. I say that not from a football standpoint, but from any organization to lose key pieces anywhere and to still be able to compete, to have a B team, to have a bench, to have depth, to have the scouting, to have the coaching. To be able to go out there and play, it's impressive what they're doing this year. Maybe the most impressive thing I've seen them do at 5-1.
It is certainly better than anyone would ever guess could the outcome would be, right? So no one would think you could do what they're doing. I mean, there's a couple weird parts that don't necessarily translate, maybe, like they're the guys that they plug in. However, they may not be the most desirable players at those positions. They've still been playing the sport their entire lives at a high level. So yes, you don't have to take the month to coach them up on how to play the game. They know how to play the game. You have to take them and teach them how to play it the way you want, right? And read them in on your plan. So that's a little bit different for the universe right now, where people can't hire people. Everybody needs people. And like, if you've never been a server in a restaurant before, I got to imagine that there's a learning curve there. And maybe it's not a huge one. I don't really know, but.
Well, Bill, let's be honest. Come on. You've been at this a long time. You've done a lot of labor things. I've been at what I do a lot of time. I'm not like the guy that's done the labor work, but if we had to go in and sort of redo the whole thing, I think it'd be very difficult to do what the Ravens have done, to say you're plucking people from other places. You're talking about the economy now and like jobs and, we can't find people. I would think guys like you and me, just as an example, we've done a variety of different things. If we took a regular minimum wage job anywhere, fast food, whatever, washing cars, I don't know what it would be. It would be difficult. Doing something that you haven't done if you haven't been trained for it, even if it's only a job that used to pay $3.35 an hour, now apparently pays $15 an hour, but it doesn't even matter what you pay someone. I think the minimum wage jobs in this country are least desirable to some degree, but really difficult to do. I mean, I guess Mike Rose made a whole living off of that, right?
No doubt. I mean, in our case, it's like being in the physical shape, right? So even if someone isn't like obviously out of shape, they're still not in roofing shape, right? Like it takes a toll on your body. So there's definitely lots of stuff like that. And the learning curve is steep. And I don't, you know, on the job training, like throw them to the fire. Like, let's see whether they can sink or swim. You know, I mean, that's kind of the result that everybody's going after right now.
Well, the
now.
First and, question you ask is, have you ever been on a roof, right? I mean, because if you've never been on a roof, that's the first adjustment, right?
Yeah, well, and like, are you afraid of heights? That's usually an important one that we ask. You'd be shocked how many people.
I'm out.
Right. But it's fortunately for us, and maybe this plays into the discussion of the Ravens, we play a team sport, right? So when our crew goes out, there maybe there's one new person on a 12-person crew. Well, if we're all in the right frame of mind and they're like living our culture of being team-oriented, you got 11 guys looking out for that one, putting that person in a position to do what they can do to help the team. And, you know, maybe that's a big part of what the Ravens have going on. Maybe there is some strong leadership in there in terms of, all right, guys, what do we got this week? Okay, we got a new right guard. You know, we've got a new set of receivers and blah, blah, blah.
Well, they
call
that the install. They get the game plan together on Monday, they install on Tuesday, and they tell the players on Wednesday. And that's what the game plan is this week, especially when you're playing Lamar on the other side, right? Game plan changes dramatically.
Sure. And
it's like doing the roof in the rain.
When you have strong players, less so about their physical prowess as much as their mental, you know, agility is like, if the center knows what everybody's supposed to do, you're going to have more success inserting a new guy than you will if your center just doesn't have a clue as to what's going on. Like those five steps from the huddle to the line of scrimmage, he's like, listen, Bob, make sure you get the middle linebacker on this one. You know, like whatever he's telling him, you know, he's the coach on the field. Maybe this team has a lot of coaches on the field. I don't know. I mean, there are certain guys that stand out, Glass Campbell and other people, you know, who like, you know, they're
that's a leader
leadership.
Of men.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They're leaders.
Or in this case, that's a grown ass man. the grown ass man part, having been in the locker rooms for years, you know, that's one of the things about Lamar and Hollywood and Mark Andrews, some of these guys that are no longer rookies. So the fact that they're playing as well as they are, and we can get into a football conversation. You know, these guys have been groomed to be this. They were first round draft picks. Now we get the other kid back in, Bateman, this week. He catches a couple balls. But I think that the pedigree of what they have there is solid. And the free agents, to your point, the Calais Campbells and the guys they brought in, Villanueva, Zeitler, grownups, that even when you lose Ronnie Stanley, and to your point, there's no replacing Ronnie Stanley. He's a lottery pick on the left side of the line. He's a $100 million tackle. He should be a lot better than anybody else you can plug in there. But how many weeks you can go without him, and we're going to find out over the next 11, 12, 15 weeks, however long they continue to play, what it's going to be, because he's not coming back. But and then to your point, when you find out somebody's not coming back, or you get a retirement or a key piece of your team leaves for whatever reason, you find yourself in the same position the Ravens are in when they lose Marshall Yanda, right?
Sure. I think it's this testament of if all the people are buying in to the concept of team, then there are steps that are taken throughout the week, during the game, you know, during the walkthrough, whatever it is, right? Like, if that guy leans in to help the new guy that they have to insert, then they're going to have better outcomes. I don't think that's, you know, a foregone conclusion amongst all teams in the NFL. Like,
certainly not going on in the NBA if you saw what happened with the 76ers the other day.
Yeah, I think there's lots of selfish, you know, people who are just trying to figure out how to do their job. And, you know, that spreads that, I guess, the responsibility for John Harbaugh and his staff is more important than being able to, like, coach those players up on where to put your hands and where to step here, is getting them to buy into the fact that everyone has to be working towards the outcome, you know, and that means supporting the guy next to you. You know, maybe that's just the kumbaya story of the 5-1 Ravens right now is, like, it doesn't matter what happens to us. We're just going to pick everybody up and plow forward. And I don't know. We'll see how long it lasts.
Well, it helps when you have Lamar Jackson on the roof, right?
Well, yeah. And to me, I mean, I spent all last week talking to people like, what do we think we got to do to like actually sit Lamar down? Right. Because I don't want to waste, you know, 500 hits on his body on a team that's not going to go anywhere. And all they do is keep going out and winning. And it doesn't. So like, I mean, can they really go and win the Super Bowl? Or is this a year where Lamar takes abuse and we don't get there? So that's the challenge, I think.
Well, if you ask a Buck Showalter, he'd say Matt Wieters is here to catch. He'll catch 165 games if we have to. So, you know, Lamar's here to play. Lamar's here to make money. Lamar's going to make a lot of money, and they're a contender. Bill Cole's here. He's Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Sometimes we talk a little football. Sometimes we talk a little leadership. Have you followed any of this NFL league stuff? I haven't talked a lot about it this week. Marty Conway was supposed to be on this week. I'll get him next week. My back's been a disaster. I'm just trying to make it through here. But I love the league, right? And I love the league and beg for a team even when we didn't have a team. So we go get a team. We spend all this money. We build the stadium. 25 years later, the league itself disappoints me almost at every turn with every decision. And from Kaepernick on, you know, the Kaepernick thing was ugly enough. That will be a stain on them forever. I knew that day in Wembley. I'm like, let me get this straight. You're going to get down on the African-Americans and people of color in your league, and your league is 80% people of color, and your management is 98% people who are white, and your ownership is 100% people who are white. So 4 years ago, I thought, if you're going to have a league, you better get Mr. Silver on the phone and figure out how to run your league and run the people in your league, because the old boy way of steamrolling people, you know, we're not going to run the league like Tom Benson's running it anymore. And the players aren't going to put up with that. I think we're in a really unique spot here where they're holding 650,000 emails back. And it's very, very clear that they have sacrificed John Gruden, Bruce Allen, Adam Schefter to some degree, and then they're just going to put the lid back on all the emails and protect Daniel Snyder. I don't know that the media, the league, the people in the league who had access to all this are going to want to protect Daniel Snyder, who was doing some things that probably indicate he shouldn't own an NFL team. You mentioned the team. He probably shouldn't be on the team if you are hustling your employees to take naked pictures of cheerleaders and send them to you. You probably shouldn't own an NFL team if you're doing that stuff.
Yeah, I think the concept of, I don't know if shaming is the right word, but the hush, the dismissive nature of Kaepernick and then just exiling, that plays much bigger late, you know, a year, two, three later, when everybody was like, oh, this is what that guy was trying to talk about. And now all of a sudden we're having a national conversation about it.
That was led by a football player.
And everybody just dismissed him. Like, hey, go away. What are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Well, I wasn't around for Curt Flood 50 years ago, right? But Curt Flood is the reason baseball changed. Curt Flood changed baseball, and then Andy Messersmith and free agency. But Curt Flood was a sacrificial lamb in the whole thing, right? I mean, you go back to Ali with the government and Vietnam, and you know, there's always somebody, me when it comes to the Orioles, that's willing to speak up and say this shouldn't stand, this isn't right, this isn't the way it should be done. I'm hoping someone's going to stand up to the NFL and on these 650,000 emails and say, that guy's not fit to own a team, and you're not going to use his dirt to fire everybody under him without going after him and thinking that, like, it's just going to be okay, because it's not okay. It's not okay. What the NFL has done here is sleazy, sleazy.
Well, but they're going to – I mean, I think the management playbook for them is
– protect the owner?
Be dismissive. Like, oh, look at this hand. Don't pay attention to this one over here. Just watch this one.
The PR game, yes.
Yeah. And in the case of Kaepernick, it takes time to unpack it, right? But have faith in humanity that somewhere down the road, there's enough people sort of peeling back the onion to then all of a sudden get to the conversation that was what the man was trying to start. So what you have here is the technique of, you know, like, let's just not make a big deal of this, and it goes down the road. But there are a number of people, maybe it's not you and I, but there are a number of people out there who are going to keep chipping away and chipping away, and they'll get those emails. They'll get them in small batches or maybe massive or whatever. Somebody will open up the floodgates, and then they'll have to deal with it. And I mean, I don't know what, I mean, that, understand, it's like this whole antitrust, like monopolistic, deals with the government. Like, there's lots of layers to this that make the concept of the man who owns the team to not follow typical, like, personal property law as we all recognize.
Well, Teflon, country,
right?
Literally Teflon, the Jeffrey Epsteins, you know, the people that are literally flying above the law because of their money.
Well, I think he's not.
Bill, like, Cosby flew above because of his fame. Matt Lauer, you know, I mean, I'm talking about people that have done horrible, abusive things based on their power, based on their money, and based on, I'm too famous. You grab them by the pussy. You're a celebrity. You can do that anytime you want. They'll even vote your president after you say it. You get caught. So, I mean, that's America right now over the last 5 years. I don't think that's where, I think America's tired of that. I think that not just the people with, you know, Trump signs on the lawn out in Iowa. I think that the reckoning of accountability over the next 10 years. And you know why? Because African-Americans are going to speak up. Women are going to speak up. Women have already spoken up in the pink hats, right? That's why Joe Biden's president right now. I'm convinced of that. That was a feminine issue that made Joe Biden president, not necessarily white males or African-American males or the good people of America. It's people don't want this for their children, I think.
Yeah, I all I'm getting at is, when it comes to the NFL, what happens in our universe, or I guess the way we would normally think, the way we think things should go, it does not fit into our normal box because of the way the government treats the NFL. So he as an owner, you can vilify him in the press, right? They can bring criminal charges against him.
They fined him $10 million, and I have no idea where that money went. Tell me that $10 million went to help some kids in Southeast D.C. You know what I mean? Like, really?
Yeah. So, but then there's this concept of ownership, and see where the NFL steps in is like, wait a second. You know, we have this agreement with the federal government that allows us to be the football monopoly. And they don't really screw with us because we keep our backyard cleaned up. Well,
the Washington Nationals existed, by the way. Not to interrupt you, but the reason the Washington Nationals exist is because there was real pressure from the Washington Post and, you know, and through all the senators in D.C. to say, if they don't put a team here, there is collusion, there is antitrust, and we will go after them. And that was the number one thing Selig was worried about. To your point, you know, the guy at the top of the food chain isn't worried about what you're worried about. He's worried about something completely different. It's usually the government or fines or lawsuits. Those are the things that keep CEOs up at night, right? Not making the donuts. They figure they can make the donuts. It's who's going to come and take all the donuts away from them, right?
Sure.
And that antitrust was a big, big part of this. There's no question about that, because that's very un-American to be running a monopoly.
And that's where it gets weird. And I don't, you know, I would be a fool to try and say I can understand all the different factors that the league office has to deal with or consider as they, you know, try and make decisions. But I know that, like, this dismissive playbook thing where you run out the sacrificial lamb and then everybody goes into hiding, that doesn't really seem to work very good, especially not in today's world with social media and all the different access points of how people can find stuff out. That just doesn't seem like a winning strategy. So how you deal with him, you know, and how that comes down, like, it was real easy for them to say, hey, Gruden's got to go. Like, that was easy. And you know, they're hoping that kind of stymies the interest or whatever. That's the big story.
But then they say he's the only one that was doing this. The only one. Sure.
So when it comes to outing an owner, I think that is like amazingly difficult because that can get really nasty. And I mean, it's kind of like massive piles of money bashing into one another. Like who is the one that actually has the money to, to fight this? Battle?
Well, while we're on that topic, I was in St. Louis a couple weeks ago when I blew my back out, right? The big story that week there was the fact that they're suing the NFL. Now, you might not even know that they're suing the NFL because it is complete. This is when you're a monopoly, okay? ESPN, NFL Network, NBC, CBS, I guess ABC because of their deal with Disney, Fox because they're in business with them. None of them have ever even put this on the 6 o'clock news. There's not even a 30-second piece that says, in St. Louis, in Missouri, in Circuit Court, the National Football League is being sued for $1.5 billion. There's no story about it. They have killed the story in the media because they own the short hairs of all the news organs. The NFL does.
Right.
So the NFL has no news cycle on illegally, illicitly breaking a city the way we were broken in 1980, all the stuff we went through, right? Eminent Domain, Chernoff, Ursay, all those names back in the Hudnut. Remember all those names? St. Louis is going through that right now. And apparently, and I follow a lot of legal eagles out on Twitter. Dan Wallach's a great guy to follow, by the way. I've had him on the show before. He loves this stuff. Sports Business Journal's all over this too. The NFL's in trouble in this lawsuit because they're on the wrong side of it. They did not do any of the due diligence. They didn't, you know, the criteria to leave a city, none of it had been met. All of it had been done artificially. They've done discovery now on emails and what was said by the cheerleaders and whatnot. And keeping in mind that Mark Davis and Alex Spanos believed that they had Carson lined up. So they're on the other side of this, even though Mark Davis cashed in and Spanos cashed in, their emails they've sent that are now part of discovery. And, you know, the St. Louis government's got the NFL on the run a little bit here, that the NFL at some point, and there will be lawyers, Andrew Brandt's been following this too, the NFL is going to lose this case. And so, you know, at some point, they're going to have to write a
10 years
to St. Louis to some degree. And right, they've done the math on that. But and as Andrew Brandt points out, the NFL lawyers are running everybody ragged because that's what they do. That's what that's America. We're going to run you ragged with lawyers. That's Peter Angelos, the story of his life, running you ragged with lawyers. Donald Trump, that's the story of his life too.
Right. 10 years from now, there'll be a little the byline thing, you know, that goes across the bottom of the television.
St. Louis got an $800 million payout of $100 million a year for 8 years, right?
The NFL's building 17 parks in St. Louis in addition to paying them $800 million for illegally moving the team without proper.
And what will happen is the fine will go into the kitties of whoever buys the team from Bishotti. He'll wind up paying the $18 million of damages to St. Louis or whatever. Bill Cole is here. He's Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Yeah, we went all over the place in this one because it really it's a world full of lawyers at this point, right? People break laws and then they show whether they're the big guy or the little guy. And I guess in the NFL, 650,000 emails is there are emails. Come get them. You'll never get them. You might get them. If you get them, we'll deny them and we'll point the other way and we'll build a park. You know, we'll do something else that will move the energy of where your mind is into our flag and our shield are good and watch the game Sunday. And hey, Ravens take on the Bengals at 1 on Sunday because they're good at that. And I'm getting a little offended by it, to be really honest with you. I mean, having watched it now, it's a little odious to me. Roger Goodell is odious to me. He never was. I used to go up and talk to him and whatnot. I really see him as a sort of a macabre character at this point and a really, really wealthy man who is just doing anything he can do to protect his wealth.
Yeah, it's just one thing to the next. I mean, I don't know. No organization will ever be perfect. Maybe
dude, his number two was burying the emails, right? Literally. His number two, Pash, was in on this with Allen.
I get it.
The number two is in on it.
I get it. But give me 5 years ago, what trouble was the NFL in, right? 10 years ago, what trouble?
Well, 5 years ago was you don't want your kids playing football because of your head.
Okay.
That's right. Still the case, and, by the way.
And making movies about it and burying information from doctors and all the bad stuff with the ex-players and all that stuff, right? So that was then. Prior to that, you went through the whole, like, all the players in the NFL are drunks, drug addicts, woman beaters, you know what I mean?
Before murderers, that, it was steroids, like, and Matuzak, right?
Yeah. So I...
Gambling's next, by the way. One of these backup totally cornerbacks, agree. One of these backup cornerbacks making $250,000, you know, oh, come on, man. I mean, there's going to the, and by the way, I watching football on a weekend now, it is nothing but one giant inducement to wager. Now they got old Terry Bradshaw. Like, let me give you Terry's money. I got to get Terry's money. They have players out now involved in I guess it's not to be shocking because it's no longer a vice, right? It's a added bonus for the league now, not a vice.
I guess I think you're right. I mean, I think it's like the kids who are playing now don't remember or weren't around or haven't been told the stories of all the guys throwing the games, right? Like that, like there's been enough
Paul Horning.
There's been enough time to pass, right? That this is not a thing. And
it was like Shoeless Joe. We didn't know about that until the Astros started beating on trash cans, right? 100 years later, right?
Right. So I don't know how. I agree with you. I think it's like really scary. And when, I mean, the only commercials now, this is my, I don't know what you call it, but like
old every guy commercial, get off your lawn?
Something. Every commercial is, hey, your first bets are free and buy a pickup truck. And the problem is there are no pickup trucks and you only give me the free money one time. Then I go get stuck down the hole of trying to make my money back because you took my credit card and all of a sudden half the people are gambling, not even being aware of the fact that they're actually using their money, right? Like, don't tell me that all the people that are logging in on this app understand the fact that once they put their credit card number in there and once they start get, you know, that they are really fully understanding the implications of clicking the button. I don't believe that's even true. It's like the good old,
well, everybody thinks they know a lot about football. You know how I know that? I've taken phone calls from them for 30 years. So right. None of us would ever go out to the racetrack. You could read the form and say, this horse had Lasix. This horse ran 6 furlongs really fast last time. And they pulled him back from 1.25 miles. And I'm going to bet this horse. He's 8-1. And I like the color purple and I like the color blue. And I like the jockey. Give me Pat Day on that horse or whatever. You have all of this. I never really believed I knew anything about horse racing. I really did believe I was out there throwing a dart. When it comes to football, I remember one of my former employees who works over at the flagship now, the first time when he was even more naive than he is, that he was convincing me he knew enough about football to make money on it when he was 19 years old, that he had his little notebook and all of his bets out. And I'm like, man, you're a pretty dumb kid. If you really think that you know more about football enough to bet money on it, you may want to get a job because like this, if you think you know football, I remember Marvin Lewis said to me early on, we were in his room back in 1996, 97, back when Vinny was throwing for 5 touchdowns and the Rams were throwing for 6. Right. He said, I can't believe anybody bets on this. Like he said, I coach it every week. I don't know who's going to win. I don't know how my guys are going to play. I worry about it every week. I can't believe people bet on this.
So two quick stories. Ready? Sure. One, there is a common person that we both know that I met when I was an intern at 1570 back in the day. And we were at a bar one time doing a show or whatever we were doing. And I can remember it was like Michigan State was playing and we were talking about gambling on the game. And I turned to him and I said, you know, college football, like, I can't believe you bet on this. Like, college, how many of those guys went out and got blackout drunk the night before the game? And now you're betting on them to perform. And I'm telling you, there have been few instances where someone was more offended by my questioning them when they're like, he couldn't believe that I said that because it was so obvious that this is easy to get to bet on and win. And the second one I'll give you is there's a great book by Adam Grant called Think Again, right?
When you give me books, I have to get my little thing out. Go ahead, Andrew.
Adam Grant.
Adam Grant. See, I already got half of it wrong. Adam Grant.
Think Again.
Think Again. Okay.
And in there, he talks about, it's lots of stuff. He's a really smart guy, but the confidence curve is when we know we know nothing, we are very humble and listen and try and learn.
Listen to this. Think again. The power of knowing what you don't know. Yeah. The power of knowing what you don't know or what can't be known.
Right. So what he says is when we know we don't know anything, we are very humble. We listen, we learn, we really try hard. Humans, the minute we get a little bit of knowledge, we think we know it all. And our confidence significantly outpaces our knowledge. And then over time, that confidence betrays us, right? And we make mistakes while getting more competent until they get back into this same place where now our humbleness can match our knowledge and our confidence. And it's like they did tests on doctors. So like doctors coming out of school,
He refers to it here. I'm looking here. It's unlearning because things change, right? When things change, to unlearn them. I mean, I've had this issue with partners of mine for years where an idea in 2008 that was a great idea is no longer a good idea, but they're still talking about it. And I'm like, no. That's like talking about BlackBerry. BlackBerry was a really good idea at the time, but it's not a BlackBerry world anymore. You know, it was really good. It was revolutionary, but we do things differently now. You know, like the way they're needling my back, they've shown me my spine, where the needle would go. And I'm thinking, how would they have done this in 1987? Like, how would that, when I get my teeth worked on and my dentist looks at me now and he puts my mouth up on an 8-foot screen and shows me my tooth this big and shows me the cavity in it. In 1988, we were just like, doc, I trust you. You know, now it's like there's a whole, every doctor had to unlearn this stuff, right?
Right. But what the guy Grant goes on to say is our DNA, who we are, makes us significantly more comfortable for things to stay the way they are than for change. So we're kind of like emotionally lazy in that regard. Like, and what the weird bifurcation is, when it comes to material goods, we're quick to change, right? We buy new cars, we buy new clothes, we change our houses, we do all these things really quickly at that external world. But going to someone and attempting to change their opinion about taxes or foreign policy or, you know, the football team or any of that. No. It is such a safer space for us to hold our ground against people trying to spout their nonsense at us. So we literally build extra defenses. It's a little bit mind blowing.
It's also tying ego to information, right?
Literally. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
very much so. Absolutely. Bill Call with a great book advice here, as well as some NFL talk. Think Again, The Power of Knowing What You Don't Know. It's a brand new book, right? It's in 2021.
Been around a little bit. It's been around a little bit.
Okay. All right. Bill Call could be found at Cole Roofing and Gordy Energy. Tell them what you do, dude, before we get out of here. We've been all over the NFL this week. This is good. See, I thought with my back hurting, I wouldn't be able to do it. You've loosened my back up. I appreciate that, Bill. Good. Thank you. Dr. Bill Call. Cole
Roofing. I'm giving you virtual shots in the back there, you know.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
We do commercial roofing. So everything from, you know, leak problem repairs, anything you need done, all the way up through new construction and school re-roofs and all the like. We also love to help people explore solar and figure out ways to get it on their facilities. It seems to be the interest is definitely picking up. It's always been a good economic decision. It just, you have to compare it to the other things that you can potentially invest in. But we
still get
a
lot of breaks from the government when you do that.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Absolutely. Yep.
Bill, I appreciate you, man. I know you were in Philadelphia this week. You're running around out in the Midwest somewhere, or Vermont or some godforsaken place. How are the leaves? Was fall foliage nice in Vermont?
Actually was less exciting than I thought it would be, but I don't really want to bash them. You know,
maybe you don't like the Reds and the Golds. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I don't like the Reds and the Golds.
I think it's a weird weather. I think it's a weird weather deal. Like, I don't think it's turning the way we think. It's like how it's stayed warm here. It was really cold there. It was odd. It was bizarre.
My wife came home complaining about how cold it was there, and she had mosquito bites.
Yeah.
So it was that warm and then that cold. So we got weather change going on. Bengals and the Ravens this week. And then, of course, bye and bye-bye, which we'll be doing a whole bunch of work next week because I didn't do work this week. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is coming to you, near you, some Friday soon. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We also had a great conversation last week with John Martin from the Maryland Lottery about said gaming and said sports gambling and casinos and OTBs and all of that that the NFL is so happy to get you involved in. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.